Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Coaching Conversations. This is your host and life coach, Sean Chakowski, and I'm with co-host Money Visco. How are you, Money?
I'm fine. How are you?
Awesome. And today, Money, we will be talking about how to live in the moment, and we're going to dive into the topic of mindfulness. And I think it is a great topic because mindfulness is getting so much attention, awareness, and acceptance. And I know there may be some confusion out there and exactly what is mindfulness, but I think today we're going to kind of hopefully give a broad perspective, a broad overview of mindfulness. Are you up for the challenge?
I am. I think it's a great topic because it has become a little bit more mainstream, and I think people are realizing the benefits of it and that carry out throughout their life.
Excellent. Before we get in, I just want to give us our phone lines that after the show, if you are inclined and want to talk more with Moni and I or have any questions or you want to seek out our services, you can reach us by going on our website, which is wnylifecoaching.com, or you can actually call us at 716-560-6552. And rolling in, I want to talk about, Moni, how we actually use mindfulness in our coaching practice, because I know both of us have a very strong coaching approach that really, for me too, brings in mindfulness in just about pretty much every aspect of coaching that I do with my clients. Also, I believe, Moni, you have you incorporate mindfulness too, correct?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I talked about it in different amounts of detail depending on the client, but with every client.
Gotcha. And also on a side note too, a practice of mindfulness is, and we're going to roll into it, is meditation. And I actually am certified as a meditation trainer and offer classes on that, but we will kind of explore that. So let's get going. I want to talk about, first of all, about living in the moment, living in the now. Because I do think that is almost a rarity in this day and age, just because so many folks are just with technology and our life demands and stressors, we tend to not be in the here and now. And a great example to show this, and I sometimes bring this up, I always go back to the example of taking a shower this morning. Everyone who's been in the shower, now, are you actually in the shower or are you already at work? Someone once mentioned that, and I thought that was so right on. Just think about it. Mm-hmm. Or some other examples, and sometimes there are days when I don't catch myself, I'm guilty of it, is have you been ever driving to work and wonder how you got there? That, you know, we kind of,
I think everyone can relate to that. I think everyone has even said to themselves, oh, my God, like, I don't even know how I got home.
So I think this, why I want to bring up these daily examples is because we all could benefit from mindfulness, or we've all been really on autopilot, or we've really been drawn out of ourselves with demands and stressors. Just as I've said, I'm guilty. You're thinking about work. But what is the importance of mindfulness? Is that there is some profoundness about living in the here and now. Why? You know, in coaching money, I always say, you know, with the past, there's not much we can do about the past except learn from it. And then a lot of times with the future thinking, that is fantasy. And I'm going to explore a little bit more how sometimes when we don't live in the here and now is sometimes how we can create our own unhappiness. And how profound living in the moment can be. Do you want to share any thoughts before we get rolling?
No, I mean, I completely agree with you. And I think a good book to recommend for this thing is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, which is exactly that, what you just said. But it goes into more detail and explaining kind of how to do it and why it's important. Because yes, like you can't, the only moment you ever have is right now.
And it is.
So, you know, people, I think they say, well, someone has to worry. I've heard people say that. Well, I have to worry about it. And it's like, actually, you don't have to worry. And worrying doesn't solve anything. It doesn't make it any different. You might have to plan.
Right.
You might have to, you know, think about the future to decide what you want to do right now, but you never have to worry.
No.
So
someone once told me a worry is a backwards prayer, and I love that. But, you know, it is not serving you. You know, the only thing that we all have, you know, and I think I've talked to cancer survivors who could really grasp this, you know, I think when you have to live in the now, but like a lot of them realize that it is true. All we really truly have is the now. It is this moment.
Right.
And when we embrace and savor and absorb that, sometimes the profundity that you can have in a given moment when you are present.
It is.
I heard, I think a good colleague of ours uses this, Maureen, quite a bit. She said it to me, and I sometimes use it by myself, you know, is do you show up? You know, are you showing up?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, are you showing up to take a shower? Are you showing up in your relationship? Are you showing up in this given moment? Not that regret, but I think you can embrace more when you experience and actually live in the moment. And I was going to share some of my examples of before I became a mindfulness coach and meditation, how I discovered mindfulness. I didn't learn the practice. I kind of had the experience and then found out, there's a meaning behind my experiences. There's a word that captures what I had, and that was mindfulness. So would you like to share any thoughts?
No, I mean, I'd love to hear that story because I don't think I've ever heard that.
Okay, I want to say two things. The profound, I guess, really is I'm a doer. I used to be always a doer, kind of. I do have, that's my tendency. Sometimes my practice of meditation and mindfulness is to sometimes help me become aware of my tendency to do, because when I do, I can sometimes forget about the now. But where I found this, and I'll go back to, it was about 10, 12 years ago, this can correlate to some people who deal with anxiety and panic attacks. Back at that time, my husband was having an extremely difficult time, overburdened with stressors, obviously heightened by his employment situation. And it got to the point that it was too much for him to cope. I remember trying to help him back at that time, you know, trying to talk him out of it and coming up with all these, you know, at that time I wasn't trained. And I could give kudos to a lot of my work now because of that experience I have with my husband. But highly, highly anxiety, panic attack. And what we found and what we had to do is, I remember clear as day, I remember the day, I can remember the experience of it, is we ended up going to Knox Farms, if you're from Buffalo. And I remember having to just walk with my husband through the park. We were, you know, he was worrying and then he had the pressure, and we just didn't know what to do. And some people, if you've ever been into kind of a situation like that with a loved one or yourself, it was a little bit concerning and frightening, but all we had was the now. And I remember walking through Knox Farm together and not talking, but just being with each other and experiencing the day. And I remember the leaves and how healing it was. And that was where I learned the now. I can recall it back in my mind, that exact moment. And I think a lot of people, if you in your life have actually been in a moment, you can probably embrace that feeling of being in the now. I don't know, many of you have had, you know, that. And I remember the first birth of my child. I remember, you know, I wasn't worried about work. I wasn't, you know, the to-do list. I was in that experience and experiencing that moment. So the profundity, you know, of realizing that, feeling and being present in the moment, and how you can grasp moments, because there's so many that we miss, you know, miss opportunities because we're not in the now. We're not in the now. I teach breath work, and a lot of that too is when we're talking about breath, I ask people how many breaths do they pay attention to in their day, and most people are like zero. And I'm like, we take 20,000 breaths, 20,000 opportunities to catch our breath and be with ourselves in our breath. And that is a lot of the essence that, we, you know, is that depth of the experience of a life experience we can have by being in the now. Pretty heavy stuff, but maybe I'll take it over to you, and then I want to share one other experience.
I mean, I don't even, it seems very I mean, it's, yeah, you're saying it's heavy, but it's not really heavy because we, it's amazing how people grasp onto it. Like the clients that I have, like when I just, every single one of them that you mentioned, even just breathing, and so many of them just, they, these are people who've never heard of meditation, don't know anything about, you know, what Eastern practices or anything like that, will just incorporate it so fast. And I had actually one client who started, you know, I had suggested the breathing, but also just, you know, Google some guided meditation, because I think that's a great way to get started. Because I think people might get discouraged because their mind keeps wandering from the breath, even though that's not wrong. And I, you know, we can talk about that later, but it, guided meditation is like your attention is focused on that, the voice of the person doing the meditation. And she's been doing that, and she said her husband asked her if she's been smoking pot, and she's been meditating.
Well, it's
every
a higher
day.
State of consciousness.
And this is
a,
I mean, this is within a few weeks. I mean, I'm talking a few weeks of doing this every single day, and he's like, maybe I need to start doing that too. So it's just amazing. And her whole life, I mean, the circumstances of her life have not changed. They're very, very stressful. She has a very stressful situation, financial issues, but this is, she's just feeling like she can handle it better, like she's not becoming overstressed about it. And then when you get to that place, then you're able to take action, because sometimes that stress is debilitating, and it's like a catch-22 where you're in it and you get so bogged down by it that you can't even see what your options are, and you can't, and you're just incapable of doing anything to change it. So if you can kind of calm the mind and become able to cope with what's going on, then you can actually do something to change your situation if that is that what's right for you.
Beautiful. That was my second. I want to roll in, and then I'm going to you and I are very left-right brain together, so the way we balance each other's and examples, I think, is great for for everyone listening there. But the what you're saying, and the essence of mindfulness, too, okay, is to, because we have a tendency to either act on autopilot, or we tend to react to things. We tend to react always, and we end up being part of the drama of life, really. What mindfulness teaches you, and this is where I was going to go with my, you know, walk through the park, is to pause and to respond to life. And when you pause, a lot of times where I had the moment, you can feel the actual essence of the experience, and then you can respond non-judgmentally. And the inner peace that people find with mindfulness and meditation, and I think the profound awareness and perspective you can obtain, it's transforming, and you know, and there's, you don't, it's so simple. And we're gonna get, I want to talk about how simple it is, but I think we're going from the big picture down to the details, because I think I want to show people how this can really transform. And I'm gonna, actually, another client I'm gonna bring up. I'm gonna use my own personal experience, but I'll use his. I had a client that was really drawn into mindfulness, came to me to kind of grasp it, and he's a CEO of a company. And a lot of high stress, a lot of tension and whatnot. So he had a difficult situation with an employee, almost to the point where the employee kind of got in his face and exploded. The CEO said that because he was studying mindfulness and meditation, that he was able to center himself in this and not react, and had a whole different approach to the experience and how he handled it. So it was just very, like, I think when people can incorporate and adopt mindfulness, how, I think what we're showing is how it can be applied so much. And I think that's the boom of mindfulness now, is that whether you're trying to control your cravings for your eating, if you're trying to, you know, better your relationships, if you're trying to just, you know, improve and feel well in your life, or manage panic attacks or depression, I mean, that's it's all the powers from within you. it's very profound that it can transform. So where do you want to go with this, Money?
Well, do you want to talk about some of the ways that, like, the tools to use to start becoming more mindful?
Definitely. Most people think mindfulness, they think meditation. So let's honor that and go there first. But what I like to tell people is meditation is the train, is a practice of mindfulness. It For me, that, you know, as you develop it and it becomes part integrated into who, you know, your pattern, a lot of times your whole life then ends up just being part of mindfulness. You can be mindful and meditative, and we've talked about this, in cutting vegetables, you know, and mm-hmm. or, you know, being mindful taking a shower. You know, once you practice meditation, mm-hmm. you what you're doing with meditation is, you know, becoming, letting the flow of thoughts, letting the feelings, letting that flow through you without trying to control it or judge it, and you're experiencing it. So when you're in the shower, you're feeling the water on your body, you're feeling the sensations, you're feeling how, you know, how warm it is. And then each moment is getting your, it's full attention. So, and that's what meditation is about. It is non-judgmentally focusing your attention. So how do we meditate? You don't have to do 20 minutes of meditation, because you're right, Monty. Some people are like, I just can't do this. But I think what's really important about adopting meditation or mindfulness is just having a practice. You know, being intentional mm-hmm. each day to silence for a few minutes. You know, I tell you, just sit down. I suggest, a lot of times I take my iPhone, believe it or not. I put it on airplane, but I put some music on, and I set my timer. And just allow yourself to be and experience being. You know, remember, you're in a body, and that's another mm-hmm. part of what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. So, to add to this?
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, I think that just for any, even if it's a minute to, you know, if you can do 3 minutes to start, to mm-hmm. just focus. I mean, starting to focus on the breath, I think, is like, probably the simplest way to start. I mean, there's different different kinds of ways, but, you know, there's like a prayer or mantras, but I think just the breath is like, I think, the easiest way to start.
Right.
And just doing the counting. And I know there's different ways to count, and I've heard different ways, but like one of the ways that I just heard, which I thought was good, just breathe in to count of one, breathe, you know, hold one, breathe out, you know, exhale one, and then hold one, and start all over again.
Right.
So
breathwork.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, and every time your mind wanders, just bring it back. And it does, you know, when you set a timer, even 3 minutes at first is going to feel like a really long time. And you might have a lot of thoughts, but it's really just putting the space between you and your thoughts. Because I think one of the big things is that people think they are their thoughts, or they have to believe their thoughts. They become attached to their thoughts, you know, and that is kind of the reason why this is helpful, because it's a practice of putting space between you and your thoughts. So
I like
you just start noticing them.
I'd love to share an example of that, too, because I want to apply that mindfulness. I want to the thoughts. Our thoughts, oh, boy, they're tricky little devils. Okay, and I say, you know, we have a mind that chatters, folks. If you're home, you know, you say you can't relax because your mind is, it's okay. That's, you know, that is your mind at work. What is really important in meditation when I teach is to silence every day and listen to how much that mind is chattering. You need, if you don't know, I'll have people that'll come to practice like, oh, I was a little relaxed. And then the next time they're like, I'm so antsy. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? That is probably a good indication of what's going on in your life. You know, just be a witness of that. Understand that, mm-hmm. you know, thoughts come in. You are not your thoughts. You are the one observing your thoughts. They're like clouds when they float in. And, you know, it's okay, let them float. But when you feel as if you're getting way too far away, come back to your breath and center. Thoughts. I don't want to use an example of this because it was beautiful what we used. You know, you have your breath to anchor. We used the word I am to anchor her. She mm-hmm. was having kind of with her relationship struggling because she always had this fantasy, like I should be romantically, you know, this idea of a romantic relationship that she felt like, you know, and every time she went there with her thoughts, she was making her unhappy with her current situation. So mm-hmm. I said, watching the pattern of her thoughts doing this, I said, well, what, you know, Money, you're really good. What if we didn't go there with our thoughts? you know, how would your relationship be? So I said, instead of, you know, when your thoughts coming in, just like your breath, we're going to anchor it saying, I am. Tell yourself, I am in a relationship with blah, blah, blah right now. And how that mindful practice helped her in her relationship. You know, it helped her not go off, and it helped her actually have a more, she said, a more positive, peaceful feeling about her relationship. But, yeah, it, that's how it applies, the basis, your breath, it centers. You know, centers with your thought. And there is breath work that you can repattern to, but that'll be for another show we can talk about. But
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do a breath, but that's one of the big ones. And I think then even just talking about, I'm reading this book actually called Mindfulness, and they gave an example of the chocolate meditation where
I'm not sure what that is.
It's just basically just being mindful, eating a piece of chocolate. So it's kind of fun too. Just, you know, open the packet, just smell the chocolate, notice the sense, you know, of smell. When you break it off, notice the textures, notice what it looks like. And then when you put it in your mouth, you know, hold on to the taste of it and see if you can, how many flavors you can taste in the chocolate, that kind of thing. It's just, it's just being mindful eating chocolate. I mean,
well, that helps with cravings too. I talk for overweight and addiction. I'm like, just hold on, pause, don't swallow. Same thing when you're chewing, don't swallow. Feel the salvation. Feel feel that you're experiencing. Feel that you're eating.
Yeah,
I love
exactly. So I mean, even moments throughout the day, if you feel like, okay, I'm too busy, and if, even if you could take the 3 minutes to do, you know, focus on the breathing, but then throughout the day, whenever you can. Start noticing, like when you're driving home, start noticing the surroundings, because a lot of times you don't even know what's around you on your way to work or on the way home from work or whatever. Just start being present, you know, using waiting times. Like that's the other thing. I don't know if it was in this article, but just when you're waiting in line and instead of being discouraged or you're waiting in traffic, you know, try to be present in those moments when you don't really have anything else to do. Instead of having your mind wander to what you could be doing and getting irritated that you're, you know, wasting time in this line, be present. Start noticing what's there. And, you know, if you don't have the thought that I need to be somewhere else, it's going to make you a lot less upset.
It is, and I'm here, you know, and what am I, what am I, see what, show up to the line, notice who's around, smile, that's part of it. What I wanted to go back, because you brought it up with the chocolate and even the line, a practice that helps incorporate mindfulness is gratitude, gratitude. Why gratitude? Gratitude helps you ground you in the moment. Let's just say with the chocolate, I show people, you know, I teach mindfulness for weight management. A lot of that, you know, people want to change their weight. I'm like, or change, you know, their alcohol consumption because they're having addiction. I'm like, okay, I could tell you what not to do, but let's start small because we can shift and pause. Experience your food. Parents, how many of us, do we just sit down blah, 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 or are we eating in front of the TV? You know, I always say you're going to sit down as a family. Just pause a profound 10 minutes of silence before you eat. How are you going to approach your food then? When you're talking about the food and the savoring it and bringing it up, I always tell people, you know, you're taking, tell your hand, okay, to bring the food up to your mouth, okay? That is like totally incredible that we have the ability, gratitude, to actually have an arm that moves food to our mouth. I mean, we forget those. We forget the gratitude in the smallest things in life. There are people who can't do that. But when you can see that and see gratitude and be mindful, it does bring in this energy of expansiveness. Expansiveness is probably the best word. The other thing I wanted to bring up, because I know it's already time is going, if you seem you cannot be present, you're having trouble, here's a little tip, and I use this quite a bit, is sometimes if you may not be living in the moment because you are too set in your routine, that autopilot, even myself, sometimes I drive to work, here's a tip. Shake it up a little bit. Drive a different route to work. Go, you know, try a walk the opposite way in the grocery store. How many does it?
Mm-hmm.
How many has their routine? I go to the produce. I go to the
mm-hmm.
deli. Those little shifts in routine sometimes can make you see things differently and can help you stay in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Because it's your subconscious mind that's on that knows already how to do something. So that allows the other part of your mind to be thinking about other things that you could be doing in the future, or maybe, you know, going over something that happened in the past. But when you do, go a different way, then you have to pay attention.
And actually, too, I always say, you know, people you want to make and stay in the moment, too. That's shifting. You're going to bring fresh energy, and you will see things in a different way.
Yeah, brush your teeth with your other hand, you know.
I love that.
We brush our teeth like you don't even remember doing it. It's just like you wake up in the morning, you know, it's a habit.
Yep.
So things like that. And it also, I think, has the bonus effect of just lighting up some more neural pathways in your brain, making
mm-hmm.
you more alert, because you're using other pathways that you haven't used when you use your left hand instead of your right.
Exactly.
So,
it's very healthy to, I do believe, you know, shifting and not staying in your body, you know, like I said, just the shifting your arm to brush your other teeth. Wow, the appreciation you get for that arm that you rely on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got to pay attention more when you're brushing your teeth.
And gratitude. Yeah, see, it all correlates.
Mm-hmm.
And the big one I would like to bring, because this is a big part of this is how you can practice it, but this is a big part of mindful meditation too. Most traditional mindful meditations have this. It is tapping into your body. You know, the meditation, there's a body scan usually in mindful meditation, but if you need to be mindful, if you're struggling, feel your body, you know, feel the sensations. It's very important to tap into that. That can help you bring you back to the here and now. Even, especially, I think, Moni, we do a lot if you're tending to be emotional, you know, in a high state of anxiety, panic
mm-hmm.
attacks, high fear, when we're in our heads a lot. Go to your body, even just touching
mm-hmm.
positions,
mm-hmm.
and then the body scan makes you. And even in the, what's beautiful about the body scan, we're like, don't judge if it's good or bad. Just notice. We don't quiet and notice, because I do a lot with health and wellness coaching and how this can relate. You know, we
mm-hmm.
don't come off autopilot and scan and notice. We don't know when our body is talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life can be loud. Life can be loud.
Mm-hmm.
There's whispers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially with pain management, that's a great thing because a lot of times our thoughts make the pain worse, because we start
mm-hmm.
focusing on the pain. And I think when you can do a body scan and just notice where you might feel discomfort and just breathe into it and let it,
beautiful.
And don't judge it and don't try to push it away. Just notice that it's there. And it's a little bit of breathe into it. It kind of eases the tension, because it's like your mind is resisting the pain, which causes it to be worse.
Yeah, and I was going to say, on the reverse side, I've seen people who are dealing with pain, and how we
mm-hmm.
work with mindful meditation, instead of noticing it, a lot of over-focus on, so we try to separate, you're not that pain, you know, it's part of
mm-hmm.
your being, but there is so
mm-hmm.
much part of your body, and by shifting, you're right, exactly, by shifting your focus away,
mm-hmm.
It does help. Labor.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have an epidural, and I remember going to my breath, you know, and not trying to focus
mm-hmm.
so much on the pain. I went to my breath to pull me away from the pain. So yeah, there's practical
mm-hmm.
ways to all of this.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. I didn't do that. I didn't have an epidural.
I would have. It's how life presents itself. You never know. That's why we have to practice.
Yeah.
Oh, so we have to wrap it up, believe it or not. We just touched upon mindfulness and some of the practices and the profoundness and how you can transform your life through practicing mindfulness. If you'd like to explore more, reach out and call us at 716-560-6552, or you can reach us online at wnylifecoaching.com. Well, thank you, Moni.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you to all our listeners.
Next time.
Okay.
All
Take
right.
care, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.